you pray with me? Holy God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that there have been those who have kept it alive for us since the words were first uttered. And we pray now that you will help us to have the ears, the hearts and minds to perceive your wisdom in the words and to live it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The other day on the internet, I came across a little video piece where a bunch of mothers and some fathers, all with infants, some rolling them in prams, some on snugglies, some holding them, and all different manner of things. And they were all at a park. And they were kind of having this singing argument. Bottle fed, breast fed, paper diaper, disposable diapers, cloth diapers. And they kept going, and you could just see the anger coming across their face. And they were from all economic levels. There were obviously some well-off mothers. There were some mothers and dads who weren't nearly as well-off, and so forth. And they all just started getting ready to go into a rumble, holding their kids, or carrying their kids, which would have been interesting. But as one mother prepared to get into the rumble, she let go of the pram that her daughter was in, and it started rolling down the hill. And all the mothers and the dads saw it. They all started running en masse down the hill to try to stop the pram. And they did stop it before anything happened. And they all breathed a sigh of relief. And the caption at the end says, "No matter what our beliefs, we are parents first. No matter what our beliefs, we are parents first." I think we could change that today and say, "No matter what our beliefs, we are Christians first." And I think that's what Jesus was trying to say in Mark a little bit. But I want to begin with James. James says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness, born of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be boastful and false to the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and devilish." Many like to think that what you believe is the most important thing. However, James is telling us in this passage today that what you do is very important as well. He does not pull any punches when it comes to challenging people to consider what they are doing and why. Last week, I talked about the need to follow Jesus, not lead Jesus. I shared the words of Archbishop Desmond Tutu, "If Christianity were a crime, would there be enough evidence to convict us?" And in many ways, our readings this week continue that same vein. Rather than who we follow, though, today our readings more about what do we do and why do we do it. James decries ambition. Ambition that is selfish. It was okay. He would say it's okay to have ambitions, but when it's just for you, then it's bad. He decries envy that is the result of bitterness. They've got something I want. Boasting and creating our own truth. Is our Christian faith an action, in other words, for others and ultimately God, or is it for ourselves? And James makes it perfectly clear that these traits, if we have them, selfish ambition and bitter envy, if we have those, they will ultimately destroy us and possibly those around us, and as well as our enemies. Now, I find it interesting that in our Proverbs passage, wisdom, to a certain degree, in other places in Proverbs, wisdom is personified as a woman. Now remember, in the Old Testament, the worldview of women was that they were property. Men could just about do anything they wanted with women. And the writer of Proverbs is equating women with wisdom. So he's trying to change things up here a little bit. It's wisdom that does not come from strength and power, but it's a wisdom that comes from something else. And Proverbs talks about it. But I think when Jesus places that child in the midst of his disciples, after their selfish ambition argument that they had regarding who was the greatest, Jesus tells us what that something else is that Proverbs alludes to. He sat down and called the 12 and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child, put it among them, and taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." Now, for a long time, I think most people thought, okay, what he's talking about is be innocent like a child. But we know now that that's probably not true, because anybody who has had children knows children can be very conniving. They can be anything but innocent. And the Reverend Dr. Barbara Lundblad, in a sermon on this passage, writes, "Jesus wanted them to see the child. He wants us to see the child too, to welcome the child, not because the child is innocent or perfect or pure or cute or curious or naturally religious, not for any of those reasons, but because the child was at the bottom of the social heap. The child was literally at the bottom. How well do we see the child? How well do we welcome the child, the lowest one? And you see, what makes for a successful Christian life is to take our trust in God and make it real in our lives. It's not climbing the corporate ladder like the disciples. It's not having the biggest bank account. It's how well do we treat the people on the bottom? Alan Graham, a Presbyterian pastor in Lincoln, Nebraska, in a sermon said, "Jesus took a child and said that the way they treated that child determined the quality of their commitment to the kingdom." Now, what you have to understand was the child was someone you could treat however you wanted, and nobody would be the wiser. Jesus said that the true test of one's character is how you treat those who have absolutely no recourse, who cannot report to anyone. In Jesus' perspective, true wisdom, true strength, true greatness is found in the kindness you show to the most vulnerable people in the world. You don't act belligerent with vulnerable people. You're gentle with them. But you're gentle with all people. That's the Christian response. The people in my opening story acted with belligerence until a baby's life was in danger. And then they all responded to save the child. And in doing so, they were reminded that even though they believed differently about how to parent a child, they recognized that they all cared for the child, and the peace ends with all of them hugging each other. When we offer kindness to and appreciate those in our midst, we are truly the disciples of Christ. I came across a quote from the Reverend Fred Rogers, also known as Mr. Rogers. And he once said, "I believe that appreciation is a holy thing. That when we look for what's best in a person we happen to be with at the moment, we're doing what God does all the time. So in loving and appreciating our neighbor, we're participating in something sacred." That's wisdom. That's gentle kindness. that appreciates, that honors the life of the other person. In our Proverbs passage, we heard of the virtues and wisdom of women. And as I said, women in the Old Testament times were near the bottom, just above children, because they gave birth to the children. The writer is reminding the people, men especially, but reminding all people, to appreciate what these people do. And that they are to be honored and respected. I've told some of you, and I've said it in a sermon, I think it's been a while, my early years in elementary school. I was a handful. I didn't get good grades. I was getting in trouble. I couldn't sit still in class. And it was only later that they found out the reason. My parents found out the reasons for all of these. But I was picked on. I was bullied. I was an unhappy child. At the end of fifth grade, leaving the class, I got my, in those days, they give you the report card to take home to your parents. And I got my report card, and I quickly flipped it over to the back. And it said I was going to do fifth grade again for next year. I was being held back. And I remember I cried when I got home and my mom hugged me because the teacher and my parents had talked, so they knew what was coming. Now, you need to know that my fifth grade teacher, Mr. Helderman, was and could be tough as nails. He didn't put up with anything. And I figured that I was being held back because of my grades and because I was a problem in class. But many years later, and I mean many years later, my mom told me, no, that wasn't why. Mr. Helderman wanted to hold you back so that you could go from being on the bottom of the pile to the top. And that second year of fifth grade, some things happened that made me feel like I was on the top. And my life, my education accomplishments began to turn around. Didn't turn around like overnight, but they began to. There was a gentle wisdom about what Mr. Helderman did for me. And in the process, I began to be transformed. How do we treat those who have no power? No voice. How do we treat those who have power and have a voice? Well, Jesus would say you don't treat them any differently. You treat them the same. But sadly, that's not the case. Just this past week, we heard the story of Ahmed Muhammad, the 14-year-old high school sophomore in Texas. He made a digital clock from scratch. And he took it in to show his high school engineering teacher, who quickly called the administration, who called the police, and before you know it, Ahmed was in handcuffs, being taken to juvenile hall and suspended from school for 3 days. And they said, well, we thought it was a bomb. Well, it's become very clear since then that no, they did not think it was a bomb, especially the policemen, because they did not get all the kids away from it. They did not call in a bomb squad. Now, why then did they arrest this 14-year-old boy? Was it because he was a Muslim? Was it because of something else? We don't know. But rather than appreciating his work and his initiative, they arrested him and took him out of school in handcuffs and suspended him. What's going on here? Is there some kind of selfish ambition going on here? Is there some kind of envy? All I know is it has affected that school and that police force because they've been vilified in much of the news. Now, had it been handled with gentle wisdom, they would not only have been out of the public eye, but the accomplishments of Ahmed would have been celebrated by his teacher and perhaps others, and he would have felt affirmed. The only silver lining to this story is that that others did offer that gentle wisdom, that affirmation. They celebrated his accomplishments. Ambition, envy, when used for selfish means, in the end only destroys. It never creates. So may God help us all to practice gentle wisdom. After all of us are only human. Amen.